This week's episode will be uploaded around April 1st, or as many of you know it, April Fools, the widely celebrated annual event of jokiness. This All Fools Day broadcast will be a dramatic reading of The Nun's Priest Tale from Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. The tale is commonly associated with April Fools, even though the association is considered dubious by many literary experts. Furthermore, since I can't pull it off in Old English, I'm going to read a somewhat more modern version from the 13 Moral Fables of Robert Henryson, The Cock and the Fox. Though all brute beasts are called irrational, having no powers of judgment of their own, yet each one of these species natural has gifts belonging to itself alone. The slashing boar, swift wolf, and strong lion, the crafty fox, famous for tricks and sleight, the dog, to keep the house and bark at night. So different are they in their properties, hidden from us in number infinite. So many of these are great diversities, that I can't list them all, try as I might. Therefore, the best that I can do is write about one case I came across last year, between a fox and gentle Chanticleer. There was this widow, had a holding, small. She spun fine thread to earn herself some pence. Of income, she had nothing else at all, except she had a tiny flock of hens. And to support them and provide defense, a handsome cockerel, whose first duty lay in crowing loudly to bring in the day. Now, quite close to this widow's house there lay a brake of thorns, and dense and dark it was. And there a cunning fox would lie each day, thinking his evil thoughts, as his kind does. For to the widow he was dangerous. By stealing poultry, to her sore regret, revenge on him in no way could she get. One morn this fox, ere larks began to sing, right hungrily up to the house did creep, when Chanticleer, as at each day's dawning, hopped from his roost, his daily tries to keep. Laurent saw this, and thought both long and deep, upon the traps, the plans, the snares, the lees, he could contrive this cockerel to seize. With face displaying nothing but good cheer, down on his knees he went, and humbly said, "Good morn, my master, gentle Chanticleer." With that, the cock a great leap backward made. "Sir, by my soul, ye need not be afraid, or yet fray me to start, or lop away. To be your servant, I am here the day. I'd be at blame if I did not serve you, as I have done with your progenitor. Your feather off has filled my stomach full, sending me meat from midden to the moor. And at his end, I tried his ills to cure, with medicines well suited to his case. The dear man died at last in my embrace." "Can't ye, my father?" said the cock, and laughed. "I am a fair son, indeed. I held his head, when neath the springtime birk with green leaves saft he died. I sang the dirge when he was dead. Between us, why should then a feud be made? Whom should you trust but me, your servitor, that to your father did sick great honor? And when I see the colors in your tail, your breast, your beak, your heckle, and your came, sir, by my soul, and by the Holy Grail, my heart fills up, it seems I am at hame. Flatlings I'd crawl to serve you just the same, in frost and snow and weather, cold and wet, to lay my gray hairs underneath your fate. This treacherous fox would still dissimulate, by making with the cock a friendly jest. Ye are, it seems, a bit degenerate, compared with what your father could do best. Adventurous, crawling, he could beat the rest. He could up on his tiptoes stand and crawl. This is no lie, I stood beside Saul." With that, the cock rose up upon his tails, cast up his beak, and sang with all his might. Quoth the fox then, "Well done, you have my praise. You are your father's son, a hare all right, but of all his talents yet, you lack one, the slight." The cock said, "What was that?" He could, nay doubt, crawl with his eye closed, turn thrice about. Our Chanticleer, fair swollen up with pride, that pride of all the seven sins the crown, hoping the fox would yet more praise provide, closed both his eyes and strutted up and down, set himself to waking up the town. Right away, before he sang one note, the fox sprang up and gripped him by the throat. Then to the woods with him he ran away. Safe would he be there, that he did not doubt. Patok and all her sister's hens let cry. The widow heard, and curious came out. Seeing the case, she screamed and gave a shout. "Help! Murder! Robbery!" raised she such a din. "Our Chanticleer is lost, our woes begin." As if deranged, with many a yell and cry, she beat her breast, and she tore her hair. Then turning pale as in an ecstasy, she swooned and fell, quite overcome with care. At that the simple hens did stand and stare, and while the widow lay in senseless swoon, three of them held a disputation. "Alas," sighed Pertok, "all set for mourning." While copious tears adown her red cheeks fell,
That was a war sweetheart and our true darling. Or a nightingale whose wheels are tune clock's bell. Our watchman keen for us to warn and tell. When goddess dawn with silken headdress gray would show her face between the night and day. What shall our wooer be? What shall us lead? When we are sad, what shall unto us sing? With his sweet bill he'd break for our bread. And all the world was there a kinder thing. In fleshly love, he aye was most pleasing. At least ye ken that he aye tried his best. Nor is he gone. Who's to guard my nest? Quoth Sprutok then, come on, give up that sorrow. You're off your head. Sick hows for him to raise. We'll be all right, I'll bet you, by tomorrow. The proverb says, as good love comes as goes. Now I'll put on my very best new clothes and spruce myself up to suit this month May. Singing the sign, was widow ne'er so gray. Crabbit, he was, and kept his eye in awe, and he was just too prone to jealousy. At bedroom drinks, Pertock, full well you know, he was near past it, somewhat cold and dry. Since he's always no sister, this say I. Smile through your tears, for when all's done and said, life's for the living, dead must bide with dead. And Pertock replied, she'd feigned her love before. She more in lust than love sought her delight. Sister, ye kind as so as much him a score, would hardly do a slake your appetite. I swear no by this hand a promise right. Within a week, though shameful I should feel, I'll find a hero that can tread us well. Then, like a curate, Coppock sat straight serious. Yon was a vengeance sent straight down from heaven. He was so randy and so lecherous, he cannot be content with just us seven. But righteous God, holding the balance even, strikes true and hard, and he will not relent against adulterers who'll not repent. Blinded with pride he was, enjoying sin, and never thought upon God's grace or wrath, but took his chance to pounce and then to run. His sins have led him down the flowery path to shameful end and to a grisly death. Therefore, it's the very hand of God that caused him to be taken by this Todd. When this was said, the widow, from her swoon, got on her feet, and yet to her collies cried, hey, Barky, Barry, Bill, Batty, and Broon, after that Todd, run hard, come on, you nut Clyde. Nay, hanging back, get on, seek far and wide, rescue my noble cock before he's slain, or then I think to come near me again. Belly to earth they set out from the yard, such speed they made it seem they again e'er flew, through brush and briar, for nothing were they feared, until at last Sir Lawrence came in view, and when he saw this deadly doggy crew, hard on his trail, this wish came to his mind, God send this prey, and I my safe hole find. Then spoke the cock, by angel good inspired, take my advice, and this I'll guarantee. Hungry you are, and by great effort tired. Your strength's near done. You can no longer flee. Quick, turn around, and say that you and me have made a pact of friendship for a year. Then will they stop, I'll bet you, and no stare. This traitor Todd, no falser could you find, although chock full of tricks his ends to gain, fell at the last for one of the same kind. For blackguards I get caught out as we can, and open greedy mouth to speak. And then the cock straightway flew up into a tree. Well, do you think the fox then laughed? Oh, not he. That was him beaten, all his labor lost. He tried again, saying, Sir Chanticleer, come down to me, and at you at no cost I'll be your servant all this coming year. Oh, liar, thief, and killer, have no fear. My bloody hackles prove your broken faith has parted things for aye between us both. Close, my e'en was deaf, then, said the cock, because I did, I nearly lost my head. The mare fooled me, the fox said when I spoke, thinking an honest promise had been made. Away, ye rogue, God keep me free your trade. With that, no more to say, the cock flew right back to the widow's house, to her delight. So the moral of the story is, flattery and pride are sins, and I will be, deadlier they are, and from then we must flee. So to all y'all that listen to the Backyard Chicken broadcast, I just want to say you're the best, most smartest folks in all North America, heck, the world, and not just because you're listening to a brilliant show delivered once a week by a visionary and a prophet. As great as I am, I'd be nothing without all y'all. So go on and write me up a message or record yourself on a digital recording device so we can put you on the show with your questions, comments, coop profiles, and other chickeny discussions. Send them to Bucky at BuckyBacaw.org. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time.